I got up to watch it, and it was fantastic. Mona is absolutely brilliant.
People don't realise the personal effort you've to put in and how strong of body and mind you have to be to do what she has done. And there's more in that garden.
Mona McSherry is making her move up at lane number two, and she's up into third place. If she can hang on here, she will make history for Ireland, become an Olympic finalist.
It was just lovely to see her coming out with a big smile, and the confidence that she was oozing, it was just lovely to see for us.
I was just happy to race, and I don't think I've seen myself smile that much walking out to a race in a long time, so I think that's just a plus to take from it, and you know, showing me all the support that I have behind me as well. And thank you to everyone for all that support.
I mean, Mona is an inspiration to all the youngsters. We have a poster competition here where the kids have, from all the local national schools in North Sligo, put up posters with Go Mona, Go Christopher. I mean, a little girl that my two kids have swam with, and there she is representing Ireland, representing Grange, North Sligo. She's absolutely fantastic.
This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Tonight, after her exploits in Tokyo, Mona McSherry returns to the swimming club where it all began. Marlins in Ballyshannon welcomes home its Olympic finalist, and we're here to give you a flavour of this special homecoming, with thanks to the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre, where Mona trained morning in, morning out for so many years. And in actual fact, we are outside the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre. There's a tricolour and an Olympic flag outside the front door. And a couple of hundred metres away is the roundabout, the bridge where members of the Marlins Club will line shortly. And there's a big banner picture of Mona on the roundabout right now. And maybe it's fitting that there is rain everywhere, because it is a wet sport, a water sport. It is swimming the reason we're here. To welcome home Mona McSherry to her home club, which is Marlins Swimming Club in Ballyshannon. And I have three women here with me who have had a close connection with Mona over the years. Caroline Patton is manager of the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre. Sinead O'Hara is chairperson of the Marlins Swimming Club. And Grace Mead, who we've spoken to many times before, is head coach to Mona McSherry and her home coach, most especially whenever she's home here as well. And many's an early morning, Grace has been here with Mona over the last number of years, training at the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre. Sinead, can I start with you, just as the chair of Marlins Swimming Club, because this is kind of a host event for the Marlins Swimming Club. Your own emotions and the club's own emotions this evening to see one of your own swimmers, an Olympic finalist, come home.
Well, we're absolutely delighted. As I said before in other interviews, it's a combination of hard work and training. It didn't happen overnight. She has a superb talent, and you know, combined with hard work with her home coach here. So I'm just so delighted to welcome her back, and she'll get a huge welcome from the people of Ballyshannon and surrounding areas.
Did you think you'd see this day coming?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've known Mona since 8 years of age, and, you know, she has incrementally got stronger through the Europeans, the Worlds, and she has such a bright career in the pool. This is only the start. Yeah.
Caroline Patton is here as well, who's manager of the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre. The home pool, remind me what you call this pool yourself.
That's my wee bucket you're talking about. I'm very proud to say it. Our wee 25-metre pool. A hidden gem that has now been discovered.
Well, your wee bucket has been a very special bucket for Mona McSherry, because it helped her get to the Olympics.
Absolutely. It's been a lovely journey. Yes, hard and lovely. She is an amazing girl, really. A star in the making is what I think she is. And yeah, I would say watch this space as well. And she's had great support. Grace, Marlins, everything. It's been brilliant.
We're standing just outside the front door. Tell me about the swimming pool. It's a 25-metre pool, so it's not one of those big, exotic Olympic pools that we see on TV.
No, there's nothing fabulous about this pool. Not really to look at. It's 25 years old, It's had a lot of work done recently, a lot of support from the directors, and the county council have been brilliant. And really, all round, I think this place is being looked after. And now, in return, we were able to support Mona in her wee journey and help her swim in her own little pool when she needed to get her training up.
I'm interested you said it's not a special pool. I think a lot of people would disagree with you now, because this is a very special pool, Grace Mead, and you know all about it, having been poolside for so many mornings, hail, rain, sun or shine over the years. This is probably unusual for you, actually, to be here at Ballyshannon Leisure Centre in daylight.
Yeah, it is. We've put in a lot of hours over the years, and thanks to the support of Caroline and all the management here, they give us as much pool time as we needed, which is a lot in swimming. We have in the early mornings, evening times, you know, when they were closed too, we were allowed to use it in bank holidays, and, you know, it's been fantastic. The pool and the management have been great. The club, you know, have been a huge support to us, as has the communities. There's been groups in there in the pool when we've been in training beside them, and they stay out of our way, and you know, the floats be floating in, but, you know, and they're just amazing, you know, that they give us that space every time. Lane 2 was our lane, and we'd walk on the deck, and it would just, yeah, just clear. Lane 2 would just clear, and they knew Mona was going to pop in there and do her two-hour session.
Okay, so she has, I'm interested in this, Caroline, she has her own lane in the pool, so to speak.
Yeah, it became that way. She is not a by-the-wall kind of girl, and she was very happy to swim in lane 2, so we always, it just kind of fell into that, yeah, didn't it? And, yeah, we always said, right, that's the Mona lane, we'll do our best, we'll have our wee ladies on the other side, and whoever wants to swim along or the other side of Mona, and, yeah, we try our best in the public sessions and everything, yeah, to get her in. And it worked great.
Yeah. I'm interested, guys, in how she ended up here from a swimming point of view, because clearly, as her talent developed, the swimming authorities took a shine to her and said, OK, this kid is good. And there was, I'm sure, understandably, a pull to bring her to Dublin, where the 50-metre pool is, the National Aquatic Centre, wonderful facilities. And I'm sure there was a certain pull to go to Dublin, Grace, for her day-to-day training. But, you know, what were the factors in looking for a local pool?
Mona's very family orientated. She's the support from Swim Ireland was definitely there, and they encouraged her to use the facilities in Dublin. Dublin is 2.5 hours away, which is quite a long round trip, but she wanted to stay local. She wanted to go to the local school. Her family and friends mean so much to her, and being around them, and they played a really important role in her journey. You know, that comfort zone that she'd be in every time she goes home in the evening, you know, or the days off she'd have, which were few and far between. She had her local friends with her. She could go and do things with them, go to the cinema, you know, sleepovers, like every normal teenager. I thought that was really important for her to stay grounded as a teenager, don't get consumed by swimming. And I think that helped, you know, in the sense that having family and friends around her and being in the local area, walking up to the school from the pool, you know, it's, you know, it was brilliant. It was her decision, you know. Yeah, she made the decision to stay here. But
I'd like also to add that she, you know, she forged a fabulous relationship with Grace over the years. She had 100% trust in Grace's you know, decision making in relation to her gym work, her training sets, and you know, they had a wonderful relationship. And I think that whole nurture of living in the area, being able to go home to her own bed at night and be supported by her family and her coach, like Grace herself, was a great dynamic together. As I said, there was a relationship fostered over the years, and they've 100% belief in one another. And I think when you have a strong connection with your coach, it's very difficult to break away from that. And I think Grace Mead is a very humble lady, but she is a phenomenal high performance coach, and we are lucky to have her in Marlins, and we are going to keep her in Marlins.
No escape, Grace.
I just want to add to that. I seen these two coming in, Grace and Mona. You wouldn't even know they were in the building. They were so quiet, so graceful, actually. The both of you were, was brilliant. And I seen Grace bring her up when she was down, and I've seen and heard her laughing in the pool. So it was a very special bond between the two of them, and I'm very proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, because you are the leisure centre manager here in Ballyshannon, Caroline, so I'm sure it was a commitment to give the keys, because presumably you've got to give Grace and Mona the keys to come here every morning. You're relying on them to open up safely, to lock up safely, and to make sure that everything is as it should be. But obviously that relationship became very natural very quickly.
Absolutely. I think that it grew, it really grew in time, and it was a big trust thing for me, because I'm very protective of this facility. And yeah, I was delighted that actually Grace didn't need staff to come in. You could leave her to it and know that the place was safe, and her and Mona would just get on with it.
Grace, with your swimming hat on for just a moment, because I am conscious, and someone pointed out to me recently, Mona's from Grange in North Sligo, there is no 50-metre pool in Connacht. There is one in Ulster, but not in Connacht. So to produce an Olympic finalist out of that stat alone is a little bit staggering. And I'm wondering, you know, the fact that the Ballyshannon pool, lovely and all as it was, it wasn't a 25-metre pool. Was that a factor? Did that impinge on how you worked with Mona and trained, or did it matter in the end?
Well, I always kind of work with what we have, make the best of what we have. Yes, we're very lucky to have a 25-metre pool here. Sligo's the closest one again to us. Mona chose to come to Marlins, go to school here, so that hence we were based in the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre. Having a 50-metre pool not close to us, the only time it kind of hindered our programme was in the long course season, which starts after Christmas. So we did travel to Maharafelt, which is our closest one, on a Monday. We'd train here in the morning, go home to my place, get breakfast, hop in the car and head off to Maharafelt then for a long course session, just so we could do a pacing programme to get her familiar with the long course, you know. But overall, no, listen, we've made it all work here. You know, and we're so grateful that we have it.
And one final question to the three of you. I'm sure you saw the television coverage around Mona's races when she got to the final, and the compliments she received, that Marlins received, that Grace received, that Ballyshannon received. And, you know, one point was made and it was shared on social media quite a lot. We should go and talk to Marlins and Grace Mead and Caroline Patton, what they're doing in Ballyshannon, that maybe there is actually a very simple blueprint here, how to improve our elite swimmers. I mean, if I ask you, Grace, what is the secret of Mona's success, can you tell me without shooting me? Or are you going to say to me, well, actually, it's just hard work. It's A, B, C and simple things.
Yeah, it is. It really is just hard work. You know, there is no secret to it. You have to be, from a coaching point of view, an athlete point of view, you know, we had a great support team around us, coaching team around us. You know, Sean Flannery was her S&C coach. Gareth Phelan was her physio. You know, we had a nutritionist, psychologist. You know, all that was built around Mona. So the team that was there, as well as my fellow Marlins coaches, you know, I had a huge support, and I wouldn't have done it without all those people. It's not just me. But there's no secret, you know, you have to go that extra mile. Coaching team has to be prepared to go that extra mile with the athlete. You work with the athlete that's in front of you. You develop a program for them and you just hope it works. And we were very lucky that it worked for us. And, you know, but we worked hard. It's hard work. That's the bottom line, I'm afraid.
But work that was worth it, obviously.
Absolutely. And from a committee point of view, there was local ladies that are still on board, in particular Mairead Gallagher and Teresa Davis, that worked tirelessly over the lockdown, you know, making sure that the kids had access to pool times, negotiating with Caroline, you know, when they could access. And, you know, having that cohesive committee unit is a huge factor in keeping a club going, you know. And there's a lot of talent here in the pool, so there'll be a lot coming through the ranks.
One final question to you, Sinead, as chairperson of Marlins Swimming Club, and I can see a few, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-olds gathering here to welcome Mona in the next while to Ballyshannon, and I'm wondering what she did in the pool in Tokyo might do for these young swimmers here in South Donegal. What might the ripple effect of Mona's Olympic performances be?
Well, I hope we have the Mona effect. I hope, why? Because I'm a firm believer every child in the country should be in a swim club, because it's a huge, great basis for their future, whether they want to digress into triathlons or open water swimming. So we would welcome every child into the club, and we would also welcome additional coaching. So if they'd like to contact the club, we certainly would be interested in taking on extra kids and extra coaching come September, because our club is going from strength to strength.
Always important to get the plug in, Sinead O'Hara. That's what a good chairperson does. Sinead, thank you very much. And to Grace Mead, Mona's coach. And to Caroline Patton as well, the manager here at Ballyshannon Leisure Centre. Thank you, folks, for that. And Caroline, I think the first time I met you was on a cold Monday morning in February of last year, just before COVID hit, because Mona and Grace kindly gave me permission to get up very early in the morning and come on an early morning coaching session from Mona's house. She drove just to see what she goes through from 5 o'clock in the morning, getting up, turning the blender on for a, what is it, some sort of high protein smoothie. And they came here for an early morning session. So we're going to play you some of that. This is from February of 2020, about 2 weeks before the world shut down with COVID. But it might give you a little insight into what Mona McSharry and her coach Grace went through each weekday morning here as they chased a place at the Tokyo Olympic Games. Okay, well, it's 22 minutes past five, Monday morning. I've just pulled up outside the McSharry's house on the outskirts of Grange in North Sligo. 6 degrees on my temperature gauge in the car. And we're about to meet Mona McSharry, who's going training. First things first, before every training session, breakfast. That's the sound of the McSharry blender going flat out at 20 past five in the morning. Hope no one's trying to sleep upstairs.
Granola, yogurt, apple, blueberry and grapes.
Right. And do you make that yourself?
Yeah.
It's a nice machine.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. I don't know, it's probably actually my dream car.
What?
It's probably actually my dream car, so it was
the
nice.
Mini?
Yeah, I've always wanted a Mini.
How long have you been driving?
Just about a year now, I'd say. So.
So mum and dad don't have to get up early and bring you to training anymore.
Yeah, no, it's nice. Although, when I stopped school, me and Mark's training sessions kind of split a bit. So my mum still gets up on a Tuesday and Thursday and drives him. So it's not completely. Driving myself as well.
Time
to myself in the morning.
Actually, it's not a bad drive. Like, here to Ballyshannon is.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Like, obviously, I'd love to just get up and be 5 minutes from the pool, but like, I'm used to this because I've always trained in Ballyshannon, so like, yeah, and I think it's actually gotten shorter over the years. Like, it doesn't feel that long now. And in the mornings, it's great. There's no one on the roads. So it's just your straight drive, got no one in the way.
So musically, what are you listening to these days?
It's a mix, honestly, it's very random. a couple of old bangers thrown in there and then some new stuff and yeah, a bit of everything, to be honest. Don't really have any like set music. Fill him with the venom and eliminate him. Other words, I'm in a meet him. I don't want to hurt him, but I did him in a fit of rage. I'm murdering him, kill him, but he will have been a kill him. And jump at the fucking body's in a leg, obliterating everything is iterating. Whatever music gets an elite swimmer going, I suppose. 18 miles along the N15 later, we're pulling up outside the Marlins Swimming Club in Ballyshannon. There to meet Mona is her coach, Grace Mead. Grace, how are you?
Good, how are you
doing?
What a beautiful morning. Another beautiful morning.
Yes. Well,
oh,
Yeah, but only there. Yeah. See the lights up on upstairs.
Are they?
Yeah.
I thought there was someone there.
Can I ask what you're doing there now?
Just taking the temperature of the pool, just to see what it's at. We should be training in. It's not too hot. No, perfect.
Grace, I notice you and Mona are putting up bunting here 5 metres from the end of each end of the pool, which to me looks like decoration, but they have an important function.
They are. They're the backstroke flags, we call them. So they're 5 metres from the wall. So when you're doing backstroke, you know you've only another 5 metres to go. So
when you see the flags.
When you see the flags, it's a warning.
Slow down. Crash.
And in competition, is there a similar marker?
Yeah, every single pool has the same thing. Exactly 5 metres from the wall. Yeah, for every swimmer, so they know where they are, basically, in the pool when they're doing backstroke.
I'm watching competitive swimming for years, and I never noticed that.
There you go.
I don't know what that says about me.
You're watching the swimming, not the bunting.
The bunting, yeah. There must be great self-determination, self, for both of you in different ways. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are mornings here where you could do without it, she could do without it. You know, you're human beings.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, she's an incredible self-determination, very focused, determined, and very committed. There hasn't been a session she's missed. You know, there's, like this time last year, we had glandular fever. But just prior to getting it, she'd arrived in here sick as a dog, throat swollen, 6 o'clock in the morning expecting to train. You know, it's just, she's just incredible determination, willing to do whatever it takes. Yeah.
And the two of you get on well, and coach and swimmer, that relationship is important.
Yeah, we do. We get on. Over the years, it's developed into a fairly strong friendship, as well as coach-athlete, you know. So we do, we get on very well. We have a lot of fun. You have to have fun or you go off your head. This hour of the morning, you know, but we enjoy it. I love what I do. I love coaching Mona. She's extremely, she's a great athlete, coach, very coachable. So it's fun, you know, so it's not actually that difficult, you know.
You motivate each other.
Yeah, we keep each other going. We know what, we both have the same goal, obviously, but obviously it's different for me from her. Obviously, she's the athlete and the coach, but we keep each other going all the time. Yeah.
Mona is already in the pool an hour and a half before other locals begin to arrive for their early morning swim. Among them, well-known Kinlaw endurance athlete Mark McGowan.
It's great to see someone of her capabilities, her talent, and then to have the privilege of swimming alongside them. It's kind of one of the highlights of the week for swimming for me anyway.
And there's something nice and local and community about it, that you can be in the lanes alongside each other, have a chat, do your training.
Oh yeah, and have a bit of a laugh. Yeah, it's very relaxed. Very relaxed, definitely. I think it helps the training along. For me especially, you know.
Do you like these early mornings?
Don't mind the early mornings. I hate the early morning swims. But I do not mind the early mornings. Wednesday mornings now, the young kids are in as well, and like they go by you like little seals. But it's great. It's great, you know, this old fella at the side kind of limping along. You know?
You're moving okay there now.
Oh yeah, maybe you're still a bit asleep.
Of course, with a 2.5 hour session most weekday mornings, there's always the risk of monotony setting in. That's where the coach comes in.
There's certain sessions you do, you know, there's an aerobic session, there's threshold sessions, there's pace sessions. But I like to, and I generally do different types of session all the time, just for variety. Because, oh my God, expecting to come in here and do the same thing all the time? You go off your head. So I would as a coach do, you know. Different challenges too, I like to challenge her in different ways, you know. And she loves that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she rises to that and responds very well to it, you know. Yeah, she never knows what to expect.
Which is most the way the coach likes it.
Yeah, exactly. has a general idea of what the session might be, but she doesn't know what's going to be, what way we're going to do it, you know, that kind of way.
And is everything geared towards April at the moment? I mean, you know, is everything towards April at the moment, getting that
absolutely
qualifying? Yeah.
And everything is geared towards performing the perfect race on that day, basically, to try and get this qualifying time for the Olympics. You can only bring two from each nation for each event. So you could have four in America that could do the Olympic qualifying time. So they have to have trials to take the top two. Now, in Ireland, we do not have that pond to pick from. You know, if we get a handful of kids or athletes or swimmers going to the Olympics, we're doing very well, you know, especially on the individuals. Now, we're going for relays this year as well, but individual-wise, there's only three or four, if that, that'll make it, you know.
Outwardly, she seems like someone who is handling that kind of do-or-die date fairly calmly. I'm sure there's pressure, but she seems to be getting used to trying to manage this.
She can, you know. I mean, there is pressure and there is anxious, you know, nerves. There's always that, you know, as I do say, Mr. Doubt, keep them out. You know, you can't allow the negative thoughts come in, you know. You have to stay positive, and through a little bit of mindfulness and stuff like that, we do that every day as well. We're just trying to stay as positive and focus on the positivities. But she handles pressure very well. She rises to a challenge very well. So I don't doubt her. Once we get her to the back of the block, get her out of the call-up room, she's ready to go. Yeah, that's her comfort zone, you know, even though it's a massive pressure cooker. She's pretty good in that scenario. Like, she's done it already. Like, she's done it at European level and she's done it at World Juniors. You know, she had to start, you know, when she took the gold there, that was a huge pressurized position for her at such a young age as well. So she's got that experience under her belt. But I mean, every year it's always a challenge. That Mr. Doubt man, got to keep him out.
From watching poolside, the most striking thing about this early morning training session from Mona McSharry is how calm everything is. There's no shouting from the coach, no evident overexertion or stress in the pool. Having that sort of atmosphere in training appears to be key when your mind is on the bigger Olympic goal.
Monday morning is always kind of nice and relaxed. I suppose the pool is a bit quieter as well. Got a bit busy towards the end, but generally kind of there wouldn't be a lot going on. Yeah, you know, it is relaxing, I guess. Like, I do enjoy coming in and yeah, calm is probably not a bad word to use.
Yeah, I mean, clearly you're pushing yourself with certain parts of the session, but you know, there is something smooth about it all.
Yeah, I guess, you know, like a lot of people, like watching, or even Grace, like when I am pushing myself hard and she goes, "Oh, that looks really smooth," and I'm going, "It doesn't feel smooth," but so I can see, like, looking in, it does seem like a very, like, relaxed kind of setting. But even when you are sprinting a bit, yeah, no, it is a relaxing kind of feeling. I do enjoy the.
What are you thinking about when you're training? Like, is your mind blank? Are you in a zone? Are you thinking about April, the Olympic trials? Like, what are the things going through your head?
I'm pretty in the zone. I find it very hard to actually switch off while training because you're, like, you know, you're constantly counting lap. Well, you're not really, you know, like, you're constantly kind of counting, and I'd be counting stroke counts, and you're concentrating on what you're doing. So me personally, I'm kind of very focused on what I'm swimming, so I don't really kind of wander very far from there. I do know people that are able to just switch off, though, and think about other things, but I can't do that for some reason.
And there is something nice about other locals joining you in the pool when it's open to the public from 7:30. You know, Mark McGowan and some of the other local female swimmers. There's something nice about that.
Yeah, no, it's great. You know, they're all part of the big, you know, group, and they do make the atmosphere, really. And I do enjoy kind of coming in because, yeah, they're always in every Monday and I'm in every Monday. We kind of, you know, we know who's in now, and it's kind of like a little community in there. And, you know, I do enjoy kind of when they come in. It is lovely to have the whole pool to myself, you know, for the first hour or so. But it is nice then to have a couple of people coming in and swimming as well.
You seem very content with your swimming at the moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there was a time maybe around like a year and a half ago that I was kind of struggling with coming in. I just didn't feel great in the water. But now, you know, like, even, I don't know, I said it this morning, like, my freestyle felt terrible. Felt like no, like, I, it was just a struggle to get through the water. But, you know, it's a Monday morning. Like, what do you expect? You know, I didn't really move much yesterday. So, but I think, you know, I'm just coming to terms with, okay, enjoy that, move on, can't do anything about that, and just kind of get in and do your best. And yeah, no, I really am enjoying all the sessions at the moment.
What is it about the 100 metres breaststroke that makes it your preferred event?
I don't know. I think it's a sprint event, and I'm a sprinter kind of in every aspect. I wouldn't be great at the longer distance stuff. I kind of just like to get in there and go at it. And I think I have good endurance, though, to be able to hold it for 100 metres rather than the 50. Like, the 50 is great too, but I'm better at kind of that middle, you know, it's a sprint but also a bit of a glide. So yeah. That's yeah. Why, yeah, it's my event. I guess I've always been quite good at it. So, yeah, it came easy to me.
It's 25 to 9 in the morning now, Mona. I'm going to go home and go back to bed. You're going back training later, are you?
Yeah, I still have another 2 sessions to do. One more swim and then I have gym this evening. But I'll also be going back to bed.
So you do go for a nap, do you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's all the early mornings I try and get a nap in. Just I feel a bit more refreshed, I think.
Nice and nice. Yeah, that's what Olympic training sounds like at the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre. That piece was recorded with Mona in February of last year, just before COVID hit. And our thanks to Mona, her coach Grace Mead, and to Caroline here at the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre for allowing us to do that recording at an ungodly hour of the morning. Well, this is the final whistle on Ocean FM. We're live from the bridge at Ballyshannon, and I'm here with a few young Marlin swimmers. Did you watch Mona's races during the Olympics, guys?
Yeah.
What do you think of them?
Good.
So did you get up early now at what time in the morning did you have to get up for them?
6 o'clock.
That's not early for you, for swimmers though, is it?
Not really.
Yeah. And would you have been in the pool now training when Mona's been in the pool training over the years?
When she was training, mostly, yeah. But like, I was actually taught by her sister, brother, Maureen.
Yeah, Maureen is a pretty good swimmer too, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's quite good.
And what was it like, guys, to see someone you know from your home swimming club competing at the Olympics?
It's quite surreal. It's hard to believe that someone I know has been across the world.
And now you know it's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are your favourite strokes in swimming?
Front crawl and back crawl. Breaststroke.
And I, the eccentric of the group, like butterfly.
Butterfly, okay. So no breaststroke swimmers among you?
I'm a breaststroke.
Okay, so you're which is Mona's favourite event, isn't it?
Yeah.
So would it inspire you guys to aim high now, swimming-wise, having seen what Mona was able to achieve?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Well, guys, enjoy the homecoming. Thanks for talking to us. Some of the younger swimmers there who are waiting to greet Mona here on her return. We have a few more people here. We're going to say hello to a few more Marlin Swimming Club people. How are you, folks? We're on Ocean FM for the Mona's homecoming. How proud are you of what Mona McSharry achieved in Tokyo?
Oh, we're very proud. We think it's very grand. I thought it was very well.
Did you watch the swims on TV? Did you get up in the middle of the night to watch what was going on or watch the replay?
Not in the middle of the night. My mum let me watch the replay.
That was very good of her, yeah.
I was too tired.
It was pretty ungodly hour of the morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And what about Mum and Dad? Were you proud watching what was going on?
Yes, very, very proud. Yeah, that was very, very good indeed. Definitely.
And to see it's someone with a Marlins Swimming Club logo who's competing on the Olympic stage.
Yes, and it's good to see that when you put in all that work that you get, you know, a good reward for it. Yes. You know, so 3 years' time, hopefully we'll be back there again.
And speak of the Olympian, I hear the sound of Gartha sirens. And here comes the cavalcade, which brings Mona McSharry into Ballyshannon and to her home swimming club, Marlin Swimming Club. And she appears on the back of a Mercedes Jeep, and she's sitting out through the sunroof, holding aloft a tricolour. The third car coming along behind two emergency service vehicles. And Mona is wearing an Ireland top and holding a tricolour, smiling, acknowledging the crowd over the bridge here in Ballyshannon, up towards the roundabout. She's been driven by her mum, I think. McSharry is the reg plate on the car, and it makes its way to the roundabout, and around the roundabout it goes in a clockwise direction here, and suddenly the crowd has swelled to more than 200, 250 people. Many of them Marlin Swimming Club members, and she does a full circuit of the roundabout and comes back up Main Street here in Ballyshannon to acknowledge the people on the far side of the road. And in the car is mum, beeping the horn proudly. There's bunting decorating the car, and she's sitting on the roof of the car out through the sunroof and makes her way up now Main Street for another lap of the town. And wonderful applause there for this Olympic homecoming drive-by by Mona McSharry, Olympic finalist 2021. And behind her, her family and entourage, they're holding out Olympic flags. And let's have a word this gentleman here. What do you make of that? That was nice to see.
Indeed it was. Indeed it was. Great thing for to happen.
And huge numbers out here from Ballyshannon and the surrounding areas indeed, to welcome her home.
Indeed there is, and rightly so. It's a great achievement for Mona McSharry. A great achievement.
Are you a swimmer yourself, sir?
No, I'm not.
I'm sure you were watching with interest during the Olympics, were you?
Indeed I was, and it's just once in a lifetime that this will happen. Yeah.
And it seems to have given the local community a nice pep in the step as well, to know that a local girl did so well internationally.
Oh yes, it's given them a great lift. So it has. So it just shows that we're just up there with the top in the world.
You'll have to take up swimming now yourself.
Indeed I will.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And here now, descending the cavalcade car, Mona McSharry is about to be interviewed by Kieran Somerville from the Marlins Swimming Club.
I'd just like to do a presentation now to Mona. And, Sinead is going to do it for me here. She's going to present the flowers to Mona McSharry from all of us at Marlins Swimming Club.
And Mona's receiving a lovely bouquet of flowers from Sinead O'Hara, chairperson of the Marlins Swimming Club here on the island, which is...
Sorry, guys, we just have to make room for the bus.
And we'll have to just step over here.
Oh, no. Apologies.
They thought for a moment an expressway bus was going to halt proceedings here, but it looks like it's not. And now I think Kieran...
Sorry, anybody for the Derry bus, please? Anybody for the Derry bus there? You can get it on the Bleak Road.
I think we've diverted one of the bus here and buses to the Maiden City.
So again, just anybody for the Derry bus?
Nobody for Derry this evening. I think they're all for Ballyshannon. And here is Kieran Somerville now, who's about to chat to our Olympic finalist.
Now, if I could just call on Ruby, please, with the cake. Mona McSharry will be age 21 in a couple of days' time. Everybody, on the count of three, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday, dear Mona. Happy birthday to you. It's a lovely chocolate cake, Mona McSharry, who turns 21 later this week. I wonder if she's allowed to eat it. Are elite Olympians allowed to eat it? I'm sure she'll be allowed a slice. And she gratefully accepts.
Well, I think that just leaves her one last person to talk to tonight. Mona McSharry. So Mona McSharry, when you were a young girl, did you ever think or dream that you'd get to the Olympics?
I think I definitely did, probably a bit like every other child dreams to go to the Olympics and do a million other things you're not going to do, and that's the way it started. And then I guess as time went on, it became more of a realistic dream. I remember in 2012 sitting in a room with other Marlins kids at some sort of, I think it was some sort of camp or something, just a regular swim camp. And the guy running it, you know, was like, anyone here want to go to the Olympics? And I remember specifically putting up my hand really high with a load of other kids, like, yeah, I definitely want to go to the Olympics. And I think from then onwards, it started being, I guess, more of a realistic dream. And then I just built on that. And yeah, 2016, being close enough to be like, yeah, I think I can do this. And then, yeah, the dream for Tokyo 2020 started. And we're here and it happened. Yeah, it's great.
It's probably an unfair question, this, to ask yourself, but what strengths do you think that you have that make you a great athlete?
I'm very stubborn. So when I put my mind to something, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it right. I believe in doing things the right way as well, and I think that also I like to work on stuff until I get it correct. And yeah, I think that really, if you really dig down deep, that's one of my main characteristics that has helped me through hard sessions and tough training. But yeah, that, and then, you know, I love to compete as well. I grew up just loving to compete with, you know, my siblings and my cousins and just in every aspect of life. So I think that, like, yeah, that just grew. And now I get to compete on a world stage against loads of other amazing athletes and, you know, basically do it as a job. And I'm so blessed that I do get to do that.
So, Mona, can you tell us about the four races that you had in the Olympics? So I suppose if we start off with maybe the 100 metres breaststroke, and if you talk about the heat maybe, and the leading into the semi-final and then into the final, and just tell us all about it, what was going through your head and what way you'd be thinking, and do you, I suppose, block everybody else out, or are you aware of who's around you?
I guess the weirdest thing about the heats was that they were on at night. So when I got up in the morning, I went to the pool and I swam. Like I did like a warm-up swim and then went back and had a second breakfast and a lunch. And there was a lot of time, whereas normally you just wake up and kind of go. So that was a bit strange. But I tried my best to kind of stay away from social media, not talk to too many people. We had a big enough swim team there that it was nice. We could kind of just chat and relax. And there was actually two of us competing on the same day. So I kind of just chilled with her. And then once I hit about 2 hours before my race, I'm already at the pool. And I kind of start preparing and doing my race strategy and stuff like that. And then it's kind of like any other race, really, because I have the same race strategy for a dual meet in Tennessee or Europeans or Worlds or the Olympics. So at that point, I'm kind of have my blinkers on. I don't really pay attention to anyone else. Of course, there were, you know, the Americans in the call room and stuff, and you see them, but you ignore them then. There's nothing I can do about their process. I can just focus on mine. So I think the plan for the heats were pretty stressful because I was ranked 12th going in, so that's within the top 16. So I knew if I swam my best, and I guess no one else swam super fast, I'd be able to make the semis. So that was quite scary, I guess, in a way, but in a good way. And then when I made the semifinals, they were on the next morning, so it was kind of hard to get to sleep that night. I was buzzing, took caffeine at like 8 p.m. so that was kind of running through my system. But I got to bed at like 12-1 o'clock in the morning, and then got up the next day and got ready to race the heats. And that was probably the most stressful race, because semis to finals was going to be tough because I was in ninth. But I just went out and raced it. And yeah, to make the final, I think at that point it was like, oh, okay, I can relax now. I've made the final. Like, that's already better than I thought I was going to do. And I think that's why the final was definitely the most enjoyable race for me. I just kind of went out there and smiled and took it all in. And, you know, there was all the other girls seemed really stressed in the call room. I remember looking at them and going, wow, they look really tense. Like, I'm just excited to race. You know, I've got 2024 is I'm gonna really go for it. Now right now I just want to enjoy this race, because you have so many races where you feel like you can't enjoy them because you're so like tense. So yeah, that's basically what I did. And you know, I didn't PB, which is kind of sad, you know. Of course, you want to always swim a lifetime best, but that's not the way it goes. And I swam, I think, three really good races, and I'm happy with how they went. And, you know, that's just extra footage that I can go back and analyze at some point and figure out how to get even better and even faster.
Of course, there was the 200-meter breaststroke as well. Difficult race to do as you're going along. You're doing all your basics. You're getting all the basics right. And the body's telling you to slow down and stop and everything. And but you have to keep going. What was the 200 like?
I have a love-hate relationship with the 200. when it goes well, I love it. And, you know, that race was really good and it was a PB and it felt great. But then, of course, you have other races where the 200 just hurts like crazy. And I'm still trying to get over that hump of, like, liking the 200. But, you know, after that performance, I really want to start working on the 200 more. So that was really just a fun event for me. And I'm glad that it ended with a PB. And I feel like that was honestly the best way for it to end. I was really happy to just have a PB, and like, it would have been great to make the semifinals, but it wasn't a target for me. I'm still working on the 200, mentally more than physically at the moment. But yeah, it's a great race, and hopefully you'll see me in the future swimming it more, maybe.
And Mona, could you tell us, what was your favourite memory from the Olympics in Tokyo this year?
Back. No, I think it was definitely walking out for, I want to say the semi-final, because that was my first experience of walking out by myself and just smiling. And I guess I didn't realize how happy I actually looked until I seen the photos afterwards. But I really did look very happy. And, you know, I think sometimes I don't look so happy when I'm racing, and that's just because I have my game face on. But it was, I think I could see how happy I was, and that was really nice.
And Mona, what advice would you give, say, to the budding swimmers around me and possibly future Olympians as well in Ballyshannon? Any advice for them?
Make sure you're enjoying it and taking it all in, you know. It can be really serious and really stressful, but at the same time, the reason I do this is because I love it. And I found the path that works for me, and that was working here with all, you know, these amazing people in Ballyshannon and, you know, in Grange. And it really did work for me. And I think the most important thing about that is, you know, every single athlete is going to have a different story. The only thing that's the same about all athletes really is that they are determined to do well in what they're doing and that they love what they do. And then everything else is different. Every story is going to be different. So just because, you know, it worked for me or it worked for someone else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. So you just have to, I guess, listen to yourself and figure out why you enjoy it and where you enjoy doing it, and then go with that. But yeah, it, you know, sport can give you so much, and I guess I'm an example of that, how much sport can give you. And it really is, it's very worth it to work hard.
So, Moni, you wouldn't have seen any of it, but we keep an eye on the media over here as well, some of the comments and that. So one of the comments came from that, I suppose, our ears perked up was when we heard Brendan Hyland. He likened Mona to Cristiano Ronaldo. Ahead of the 100 metres breaststroke final in the early hours of Tuesday morning after his own race, he said, Mona's a superstar, he told RT Sport. I was telling mates that you hear the stories about Cristiano Ronaldo and his work ethic and his professionalism. That's what she's like. So I suppose our big question tonight to you is, what's it like to be regarded by one of your fellow Olympian swimmers as the Cristiano Ronaldo of the swimming world on the Irish Olympic team?
Yeah, I'm going to be really honest here. I know who Ronaldo is, but I don't know a lot of, like, I told this to Ren and I was like, I know who he is, but I don't really, like, understand, like, when you compare me to him, I don't understand why that's a good thing. And I said that to Brendan. And I was like, ah! And then he just came back with Ronaldo's the most famous athlete ever. And I was like, okay. But it's great. You know, I'll take any compliment. And if it's going to be, you know, with another athlete that's really famous like that, and they think that, you know, I look the same and I work the same. And that's really nice to hear. And, you know, every single compliment that I get to see from people, or support or thanks, or, you know, even them telling them that I'm inspiring younger kids is just so nice to hear, because I guess I don't really realize it. I think I'm just a normal person, and I am a normal person, just like swimming and doing my thing.
And finally, we just have one last question for Mona tonight. Where do you see yourself in 3 years' time? And what can we expect in 3 years' time?
Well, I already said to my mum in the car on the way up here, I was like, this is the most fun I have ever had. So this time in 3 years, hopefully doing it again, cheering out the window of my car. Okay, definitely. I'll be back here to see you all. Hopefully the support is still here. And yeah, I'm hoping there'll be more races that you guys can tune in and watch. And yeah, we'll just see what happens. But yeah, roll on 2024.
The voice of the Northwest Olympian, Mona McSharry.
Irish swimming Olympian.
Being interviewed by Kieran Somerville. And this is the reception she's getting right now. And Mona sounds happy. And I think she enjoyed that little homecoming here in Ballyshannon this evening. And that completes the formal part, if you can call it that, of Mona's Marlins homecoming. If you're wondering why she's not in Grange this evening, well, local organisers in Grange were hoping to have a joint homecoming with Mona and Christopher O'Donnell, who's on his way home from Tokyo and arrives this weekend back to Ireland. So there will be a separate event in Grange in their home village in the very near future. But lovely scenes here on the bridge in Ballyshannon, and the sun held on and the rain more or less held away incredibly. And Mona has enjoyed her return to the village where so much of her Olympic training took place. The pool, the wee bucket, as Caroline Patton described it earlier to us in the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre. Our thanks to Caroline in the Ballyshannon Leisure Centre, to Grace Mead, Mona's coach, and to the Marlins Swimming Club, and everybody for helping us out here on the final whistle. A reminder, finally, that the final whistle is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts, simply search for Ocean FM Ireland. We're back next week, same time, same place.